Are you familiar with physical forms of pleasure?
If you are referring to sexuality, I am fully functional.
I wanted so much to just do Data from the Star Trek Enterprise. Make him scream. You know, it's almost like one of those fantasies of the straight woman who wants to turn the gay man. I mean, he's like the ultimate. So if I could make Data scream, that would like make my day. Oh God, just getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Was that good for you?
You often see the male fantasy that a girl robot is there to service you, and that she, you know, that she's not going to complain. She's never going to say she has a headache. She's going to whip up a meal for you. She's going to have sex with you in a very perfunctory, satisfactory, competent manner whenever you want. In other words, she's a Stepford wife.
Oh, you're the champion, Frank. Oh, you're the master.
What's interesting about Stepford Wives to people who haven't seen the movie is that it's a part of our vernacular. Like whenever we see sort of a cold, little miss perfect type of woman, we will say she's a Stepford wife. She just goes around serving the perfect meals, wearing her little apron, always having a plastic smile on her face, but she feels nothing. You know, she is cold, cold, cold.
I've never been much of a joiner, I'm afraid. I guess it's because I've just been so busy, what with baking and all that. I know I shouldn't say this, but I just love my brownies.
There's an innocent, real-life human woman who moves to this town and begins to realize that all the other women in town are these weirdo aliens. They're the Stepford Wives, and she has got to fight it. She's got to escape, because it turns out that these robot wives have been brought in by the evil husbands, the evil, icky husbands who have nothing to offer. They have no sex appeal. They have no style. They have no charisma. They have no intellectual capabilities. Unlike a lot of movies, it was taking the Donna Reed stereotype and saying, that's not a real woman. That's an alien creep.
I was just going to give you coffee. I was just going to give you coffee.
Women robots, there seems to be a great deal of emphasis that they have to be sneaky in the sense that they're going to look just like flesh and blood women. And it's a secret that they're actually robots. And we're not going to disfigure them in any way by making them metallic or monstrous looking.
You'd already figured out that I wasn't a human, didn't you? I can walk and talk, but I'm only a monstrous doll.
And we don't get to open them up the same way, which I would like. I always liked those scenes on Star Trek when they would open up Data's head or his chest. We don't see women tearing into their robot bodies that way, and that's clearly a taboo. It's because their human creators still kind of give this virginal quality to the robot. She is this beautiful corporal creature who we cannot look inside. We cannot get in her.
She's a replicant, isn't she?
I'm impressed. How many questions does it usually take to spot one?
It took more than 100 for Rachel, didn't it?
The robot story that made me cry the most is Blade Runner, because here you have something where human beings are the ones who are crass and soulless. And by contrast, the replicants, the robots, actually have sensitivity. I mean, they're the ones that should be saved.
I dreamt music.
I didn't know if I could play. I remember lessons. I don't know if it's me. Or Terrell's niece.
I think this is one of our favorite ways to cheat with robots, because we say that they don't feel anything, that they can't experience empathy, sympathy, self-awareness, hallucinations. And yet, in our storylines, whenever it suits us, we let them have a little moment. It touches us because our stereotypes of the robot are that they're the freak. And how can a freak feel anything? Usually when we see female robots, they are using their sexuality to disgrace or disturb something. Or they're revolting and they're rebelling. I mean, the thing about Metropolis is its critique of capitalism and the sort of socialist ideas it imprints through Maria, who both is defying her evil master's notion that she's just going to serve him, but she also wants to usurp every power relation. She wants to, you know, knock it all down. When you ask what the differences are between how men and women view the female robot characters we've seen on screen, you really are talking about how does our gaze differ depending on our gender, and is it really all that different after all? There's that sense where even though the stereotype looks one way, the viewers are constantly twisting it to make it fit their own idea. Perhaps a guy, maybe he looks at a robot in a bikini and thinks, wow, she just has sex all the time and doesn't care. But me, I could look at the same bikini bot and say, yeah, she has sex all the time and she doesn't care. Sometimes women find it burdensome that we have to be modest, that we have to be mommy. It's exciting to imagine it the opposite.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Mr. Powers.
Hello, Mr. Powers.
Care to have a little fun?
I have to talk about my favorite girl robots of the current film era, which are the fembots of Austin Powers.
You can't resist us, Mr. Powers.
Au contraire, baby. I think you can't resist me.
They are simply the sexiest killers I've ever seen in my life, and I want so bad to have a little pink baby doll just like them and killer breasts that shoot machine gun spurts everywhere I turn them. I mean, each time I find myself in some sort of grotesque traffic jam or I'm getting snotty customer service from a local retailer, I just feel like throwing my shoulders back, aiming one nipple, and bang, you know, off with their heads. It's just so inspiring.
A thousand thundering thrills await me, facing insurmountable odds. Gratefully, the female of the species is more deadly than the male. Shock, shock, horror, horror, shock, shock, horror. I'll shout myself hoarse for your supernatural force. The female of the species is more deadly than the moon.